सत्यसन्नो जितेन्द्रिया आत्मवात् सर्वं कामं एकप्रियासुहितवान्। The qualities of Maharaj Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmin, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind, like the super soul. He was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother, and he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older godbrothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. These are some of the qualifications of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmin, because a Vaishnava has all the good qualities of a Brahmin. Samodamastapasocham chantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahmakam masvabhavacham. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmins work. These qualities are manifest in the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, a perfect Vaishnava is also a perfect Brahmin, as indicated here by the words, Brahmanya Shila Shambhana. A Vaishnava is always determined to understand the absolute truth. And to understand the absolute truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind. Prahlad Maharaj possessed all these qualities. A Vaishnava is always a well-wisher to everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way, Dhira Dhira Jana Priyo. They were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. A Vaishnava must be equal to everyone, regardless of one's position. Atmabhat. A Vaishnava should be like Paramatma. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesha Junachishtati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahmin, but he is also in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays, even to the house of a chandala, a Vaishnava never refuses to act for everyone's welfare. Therefore, a Vaishnava is always obedient to the spiritual master, Arya. The word Arya refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. One who is deficient in knowledge cannot be called Arya. Present, however, the word Arya is used to refer to those who are godless. This is the unfortunate situation in Kali Yuga. The word Guru refers to the spiritual master who initiates his disciple into advancement in the science of Krishna consciousness or Krishna consciousness. As stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Shri Bhagavan Mantro Adeshya Ke Gurav. Today is the appearance day of Lord Narasimha Deva, one of the most important festivals observed by the Vaishnava community. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has told us that we should very sincerely, helplessly, pray to Lord Narasimha Deva to remove the obstacles that are on the path of devotional service. In this age of Kali Yuga, at every moment, there is potentially unlimited obstacles that come on our path to impede our progress. And actually, we are helpless. The three modes of material nature, which are the powers of Maya, are insurmountable. Only if we sincerely take shelter of the Supreme Lord can we possibly overcome them. Many people worship Lord Ganesh to remove obstacles in their lives. Sri Brahma Samhita describes that Lord Ganapati, Ganesh, he personally worships Lord Narasimhadeva to give him the power to give that blessings to others by which obstacles will be removed. In fact, for a sincere devotee, the obstacles that come on our path are a great benediction. Srila Prabhupada describes that when impediments come, there are several purposes the Lord has to achieve. One is to separate those who are sincere from those who are not sincere. Those who are sincere, when they're faced with crises coming either from one's own mind and intelligence or coming from the environment around them, a sincere devotee becomes very determined and genuinely takes shelter of the mercy of the Lord to save him or her. And a person that is not sincere will look for so many other alternatives, will find so many good excuses why not to try to be Krishna conscious in this life. If you want to remain in materialistic bondage, Krishna through Maya will provide so many logical, philosophical, social reasons why that's what you should do. And they'll also give a whole society of people all over the world to support your ideas. Obstacles also come because for a sincere devotee, they give him a chance to make greater advancement. Like steps. Steps are hard to climb. The law of gravity is to push you down. And to climb steps, you have to go against the law of gravity. However, those steps are taking you to a higher destination. Similarly, the obstacles on our path are actually specifically designed by Krishna to help you become purified, to bring you to higher levels. Many of you are children, and some of you have children. You know, children are not very attracted to taking examinations in school because they have to work very hard. There's a great threat that they may fail. Well, every teacher and every parent knows that the examinations are necessary to make the children very, very serious and prepare themselves. If we are, Prabhupada explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, if we are not sincerely and attentively endeavoring to chant our rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, that at any moment we will fall victim to Maya. So knowing that, knowing obstacles will be coming, we have to prepare ourselves. Just like in military, they don't just send their soldiers into the battlefield. They train them. Sadhana Bhakti is meant for training. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita every day, by chanting the holy names every day, we are preparing ourselves. We are getting strength. We are seeking shelter at the mercy of the Lord. And then whatever obstacles may come, either individually or collectively, they can only serve to make us more stronger, more surrendered, more purified. At New Vrindavan in our history, I remember it was just a very little community, a few people walking around in the mud. Gulatri Prabhu was our president even back then. Not much was happening. And then one festival, devotees were shot. The deities were attacked. It was a major crisis. Some people left. But those who stayed, through the experience, everyone in the room that day thought that they were going to die. Because there were people aiming their guns and shooting at us. There were devotees laying in pools of blood on the floor. We all thought we're going to die today. But when the deities fell to the ground and made such a sound that these persons holding their guns became worried, fearful, and left, the devotees became so determined, so surrendered, so much taking shelter of the Lord. I remember I was pujari at Brahmachari Ashram, and this person said, "We're coming back." So every time when I was dressing the deities, I heard from behind the curtains any kind of rough noise, I thought, "They're back." And from the core of my heart, I was just praying to Radha Vrindavana, "Let me give my life but not betray you." Praying, even crying. "Let me die, let me be tortured, but please don't let me betray you." And the whole community was in that mood. And from that determination, that surrender, that commitment, Prabhupada's palace was built, this temple was built, the whole community was built. That terrible crisis, which was beyond anyone's expectations, something no one ever wants to go through, was actually a stepping stone, individually and collectively, for incredible devotional service to be performed. For those who are actually pure, the Lord puts them in difficult situations just to show the rest of the world how to respond to those difficult conditions, to glorify his devotee. That is the subject of Prahlad Maharaj. Why was Prahlad Maharaj so dear to the Lord? How is it that little five-year-old Prahlad was protected under the most incredibly impossible situations? This verse just describes it. This was his qualities. He was eager to understand the absolute truth. He was very gentle, so very humble. Even though he was the leading son of the king of the universe, he had no false pride. He was a menial servant to his superiors. He was the most loving, gentle friend and brother to his equals. He was like a father to the poor. He was perfectly compassionate, willing to sacrifice his life to uplift the fallen. He treated his older godbrothers, his guru, and other Vaishnavas the same way he would treat the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he imbibed these qualities, he was so dear to Krishna that Krishna protected him in all situations. It is said in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila, two devotees imbibe the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj.
Vadva Srila Haridas Thakur.
Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of Rakshasas, not just demons. We have so many demons around the world today. But he was in the dynasty of Rakshasas. That means Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna. These are Rakshasas. Their food is the flesh and blood of humans. Very low caste. And Haridas Thakur was also born in a family of untouchables. But they are not considered by their birth. They are considered by their personal, genuine qualities. Krishna is not concerned with whether we're black or white or red or yellow, whether we're literate or illiterate, whether we're men or women, or old or young. He's concerned with our quality of sincere surrender. Gajendra was an elephant. But because he had devotion, he was delivered. Hanuman was monkey. Prahlad was a Rakshasa by birth. And Haridas Thakur was a Malecha, Yavana. But they all have one thing in common. Complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And the spirit of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. No desire for respect, no desire to enjoy, simply the desire to serve others. That is real beauty. Beauty isn't a nice looking face or a particular shaped body. Real beauty is a person's character. Humility, compassion, devotion. That makes a beautiful person. That was Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj is really the subject matter of this particular Leela of the Srimad Bhagavatam. To understand the glories of Narasimha Dev, we must understand Prahlad Maharaj. In fact, Narada Muni tells King Yudhisthira that wherever devotees are discussing the glories of the Lord and his devotees, Prahlad Maharaj's name and topic will naturally come forward. Briefly, I would like to go through the story. We have seen it, but for our purification, it's nice to hear it three times on this auspicious day. Hiranyakashipu was outraged because his most obedient, loyal disciple and brother, Hiranyaksha, was just killed by Vishnu in his form of Varahadeva. On Hiranyakashipu's order, Hiranyaksha picked up his mace and traveled throughout the entire universe, conquering planets, conquering demigods, getting masses and masses of wealth and support all for Hiranyakashipu. When Varahadeva killed Hiranyaksha, the children of Hiranyaksha, the wife of Hiranyaksha, they were terribly aggrieved. And it's amazing how people see things according to the relative circumstance that they're in. Hiranyaksha's family was thinking that Hiranyaksha was just such a nice, gentle, moral, good person. And Varahadeva was such a wicked, rascal demon. And he killed our father. He killed my husband. They were very, very much upset. So Hiranyaksha
Kashyapu. He was a very, very good philosopher.
He knew the Vedas thoroughly. He began to explain that you are crying now, but you should understand that the soul of Hiranyaksha is eternal. These material bodies are very temporary. You should not grieve for the dead bodies. He told a story from the Puranas of Suyagya, who was a great king. He died on the battlefield. His hair was scattered. His teeth were clenched to his lips. He was laying there full of blood. And his wives, the queens, they were lamenting bitterly, holding out to his feet, crying out, "Oh, how cruel is providence. Why have you left us, our husband? Who's going to take care of us? Your affectionate words and glances will no longer be upon us. How will we live? Who will take care of the family?" And the people came by and said, "It's time to perform the last rites." But they held on to his body. They wouldn't let it go. So Yamaraj, feeling compassion, disguised himself as a little child. Because when children speak, people listen. When adults speak, people don't listen so much. But when a child speaks philosophy, everyone's in rapt attention. So Yamaraj came as a little tiny boy and saw the ladies weeping and crying and holding on to the dead corpse. He said, "Alas, how powerful is destiny. What an illusion. Look at me, I'm just a tiny little child, and I'm roaming throughout the world. I have not been eaten by ferocious animals. I have not starved. God is protecting me. Why are you so attached? Don't you know the difference between body and spirit? Why are you lamenting, wasting precious time?" Then he told the story of the Kurari bird. One family of birds. The wife bird got trapped in a hunter's net. And when the father, her husband bird, happened to see this, he was just standing over the net, weeping and crying, lamenting, "How will I live without the affectionate embrace of my beloved wife? What will I do without her association?" And as he was grieving and lamenting, his cries attracted the attention of the hunter, who shot an arrow through his head, and he fell in the net. Hare Krishna. This is Hiranyakashipu telling. Nice story. And he said, therefore, you should not waste time lamenting over that which is dead. There's a purpose in life. We have to achieve it. So hearing this nice philosophy of Hiranyakashipu, his relatives became very much transcendental to aggrievement. Srila Prabhupada explains to us how the big, big asuras, they know the Vedas. They're all philosophers. Not the kind today, they're little, little asuras, but the big asuras, they get their powers by studying Vedas, by performing yajnas, by getting benedictions of demigods. The difference between asura's knowledge and a devotee's knowledge is an asura has all the knowledge, but he doesn't want to serve Krishna. He wants to use it for his sense gratification. And a devotee wants to use all that knowledge for the purpose of seva, or service, to purify his heart. So after pacifying his relatives, Hiranyakashipu called his Rakshasa armies and told them that my brother has been killed by Vishnu. Therefore, I vow to kill Vishnu. My brother was very fond of drinking blood. So I will cut the head from the trunk of Vishnu and drink his blood just to satisfy my brother. Now you go. You go to wherever there is
Goshalas, cows are protected, kill the cows, burn the goshalas. Wherever there's the political buildings of the government, tear them down and destroy the politicians. Wherever there's brahminical sacrifice, stop the fat sacrifice, kill the Brahmins. Wherever there's schools, educational facilities, burn them down, terrorize the entire universe. Which they did. And the pious persons all over the universe were tormented. Meanwhile, Hiranyakashipu wanted to become infallible. So he went to Mandara Hill, performed tapasya. What he did, something we can all do, but not like him. He stood on the tips of his toes with his arms raised. How many can do that? How many can do it for 100 celestial years without moving? That is what Hiranyakashipu did. 100 celestial years, no food, no water. He became so powerful by his tapasya that fire was emanating from the top of his head. That fire was so hot, it was burning in such a way that the entire universal creation was covered with black smoke. Even the people in the higher planets were being scorched. It was unbearable. So they approached the demigods. They did not know what to do. They had no power to stop the sacrifice of Hiranyakashipu. So they went to Lord Brahma. They prayed to Brahma that we will tell you the motive of Hiranyakashipu. We heard him speaking. That he wants to be the Lord of the universe. He wants to conquer all the planets. He wants to conquer you and take your position and become immortal. You have to stop him. So Lord Brahma said, I will go to see him. So Lord Brahma went with Daksha and Bhrigu and so many great personalities on his swan airplane. He descended to Mandara Hill. He just saw smoke and fire, but he couldn't see Hiranyakashipu anywhere. The reason was, in the course of the time, an anthill completely consumed his body. And the ants from the hill were eating him, and he wouldn't move. Have any of you been bitten by ants? It's not really painful, but still, you can't sleep when they're biting you. But he was being bitten by ants for so long that they consumed all of his flesh and drank all of his blood. All that was left was his bones. There was a skeleton on the tiptoes with his arms raised. But somehow or other, because of his determination and his mystic powers, he was able to circulate his life air in his bones to keep alive. When Lord Brahma saw this, he was astonished. It takes a lot to astonish Lord Brahma. But Hiranyakashipu did it. So he sprinkled water from his kamandalu, and Hiranyakashipu illustrious, golden complexion, powerful, powerful body. He offered those dandavat obeisances and began to offer prayers to Lord Brahma as the Supreme Lord. And after offering these prayers, he ended by beseeching Brahma for benediction of immortality. That I will not be killed by any creature created by you, Lord Brahma. I will not be killed by any man or any animal or any fish or anything, bird of the sky. I will not be killed either inside or outside, either in the air, on the land, or in the water, either day or night. I will not be killed by any demigods, any yakshas, any rakshasas, any gandharvas. Brahma said, I grant you all of these boons. Hiranyakashipu became ever more intoxicated with arrogance that now he was immortal. Hare Krishna. How much he terrorized the universe. He went right into Indra's loka, the king of the heavens, and just kicked him out. Hiranyakashipu was sitting on his royal throne, bedecked with coral and rubies and gold and jewel and diamonds. He asked Prahlad, very affectionately, with tears in his eyes, you are going to the school of Sanda and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya. Please tell me, what is the best subject you have learned? And Prahlad Maharaj, so simple, so sweet, so innocent, with folded palms, offering his father unlimited respect. He said, my dear father, and then he wanted to praise his father. He said, king of the demons. As far as what I have learned from my spiritual master, one who accepts this temporary body as the self, and one who accepts temporary household life and its pleasures to be the goal of life, such a person is embarrassed by endless anxieties. Why? Because he has fallen into a deep, dark well where there is no water, there is only suffering. Therefore, such a person, like you, my dear father, should renounce this material attachment. You should go to the forest of Vrindavan and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu was not ready for that. Terribly upset. What? He called Sanda to Mark. What are you teaching my son? Are you allowing him to associate with Vaishnavas? What's happened to him? They said, no. We'll bring him back to school. We'll educate him properly. So they went back. They said, Prahlad, where did you learn this nonsense garbage that you're speaking to your father? Prahlad, thus, my dear father, please hear. Unless one takes the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, who are free of material attachment, and bathes his body in an abhishek with that dust, one cannot gain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and one can never come out of material contamination. When Hiranyakashipu heard this, he was blazing with anger. Blazing. He pushed Prahlad after off of his legs, cried out, he is my enemy. If an outsider is a well-wisher, he is to be accepted like a member of the family. But if a family member becomes an enemy, he must be rejected. Just like your body, if you have a limb that is infected, you have to amputate it before it destroys your life. So although my son is my, Prahlad is my son, he must be killed. Kill him by any means and all means. So the Rakshasas took Prahlad, and as we have seen in the play, they tried to pierce him with tridents. They threw him in huge, venomous, ferocious snake pit. They threw him into the ocean and put a mountain on top of him to drown him. They put him in blazing fire all around, on all sides. They starved him. They fed him deadly poison. They put him under the feet of stampeding elephants. Prahlad never resisted. He just continued to chant the holy names of Krishna with love and devotion. If Krishna, you want to protect me, then what can harm me? And if you want to kill me, then let me die remembering you. That was Prahlad. Forgiving even those who were trying to torture and kill her. When the news came to Hiranyakashipu that Prahlad could not be killed, he became overwhelmed with grief. He screamed out, "If I cannot kill Prahlad, then he will kill me." And he couldn't even speak anymore. The great controller of the universe, Hiranyakashipu, just sat with tears in his eyes, with his head down, burning with anger and anguish. So, Sanda and Amarka, they said, "Hiranyakashipu, he's only 5 years old. He can be changed. Just give him back to us. You are so powerful. Why are you afraid? You just move your eyebrows and Indra trembles in fear." So they took Prahlad back to school. And Prahlad Maharaj was just a very respectful student going through the lessons. One day the teachers went home to perform their household duties. And Prahlad Maharaj was just sitting there. And all the students were so attracted by his loving, good, compassionate qualities, they all gathered around him in a circle and said, "Prahlad, please teach us about, what do you believe? Why you don't play with us?" And Prahlad began to explain the system of Bhagavad Dharma. He told them that now that you are small children, Komara Achare Pragya, this is the time for Krishna consciousness. Don't wait. Death can come at every moment. The foolish materialistic people in this world, at the most they live 100 years. 50 of those years of a materialist is finished just sleeping, which is like death. And what do they do with the other 50 years? When they're little tiny children, they're completely bewildered. Or they just go out and play all day. That's how 10 years passes. And then another 10 years completely engrossed in studies. 20 years are expired. And when you're old and invalid, you can't think properly, you can't talk properly, you're all choked up. And that way, invalidity steals 20 years out of your life. And what's in the middle? Materialistic people are completely addicted to trying to make money to enjoy their lives. Money is the honey. Of course, Krishna also likes honey. It's offered to him. But when it's for us, Prahlad Maharaj says it's condemned. In this way, a person's life passes. Therefore, my dear friends, now is the time. Take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And there's only one way, and that is through bhakti, through hearing and chanting his glories in the association of his devotees. The students were in rapt attention. They asked Prahlad, "Where did you learn these things? You talk about your spiritual master, Narada Muni, taught you this. You're living in the palace of Hiranyakashipu. Where did you ever meet Narada Muni?" He told him, "When my father went to Mandara Hill to perform his austerities, Indra and the demigods captured my mother." Narada Muni stopped them and said, "What are you doing? She's an innocent woman. She hasn't done anything wrong." They said, "Yes, but within her womb is the son of Hiranyakashipu. He must be destroyed." Narada Muni said, "He's a great devotee. He's a lover of Krishna. The demigods immediately had faith in Narada and offered obeisances and circumambulated the child in the womb. Narada Muni took the wife of Hiranyakashipu to his ashram and instructed her on the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. Prahlad said, "My mother later on forgot everything due to the association of my father, but by Narada Muni's blessings, I remember every word he spoke." His little classmates completely accepted wholeheartedly everything Prahlad said and became Vaishnavas, and utterly rejected all the teachings of Shandanamarga. When Shandanamarga found out what was happening, they were outraged. They dragged Prahlad, brought him to Hiranyakashipu and said, "This is what your son has done to our school." Hiranyakashipu said, "Today, I will send you to the house of Yamaraj. You are my enemy. Because I cannot control you, I must kill you." Hiranyakashipu got off of his throne, took out his sword, and his eyes were glaring in rage. He cried out, "Prahlad, you dare to consider that there's any being superior to me? You talk about this Supreme Personality of Godhead as someone greater than me? Will he save you today? Where is your God? Where is this Vishnu? Is he here? Is he there? Is he in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, my Father, you ask where I get my power? I get my power from the same place you get your power. From Krishna. He is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything that exists. The power of the body, the power of the mind, the power of the intelligence, the power of every living entity is coming from the energy of Vishnu. And Vishnu is everywhere. Yes, my father, he is in that pyramid." Hiranyakashipu, with his fist, he pounded on that pillar. And then the entire earth began to shake. Shaking. And this loud, shrilling scream came out of the pillar. Hiranyakashipu was terrified. He never heard a sound like this. This sound penetrated all the planets of the universe. Even the demigods felt that this is the ultimate devastation of creation. He was shrilling, screaming. There were earthquakes due to the trembling. Out from the pillar came the most extraordinary form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His head was like that of a lion, his body like that of a man. His eyes were bright red with anger due to the injustices to his devotee Prahlad. He roared. He roared such a way that even the greatest of elephants were running away in fear. Hiranyakashipu could not even look at this form. He had to close his eyes. But ultimately, he pulled out his sword and thought, "No one can defeat me. This is Vishnu who is trying to defeat me." Then Hiranyakashipu ran toward Narasingha Dev with his sword and his shield in hand and began to stab him and punch him and hit him. And Narasingha Dev simply played with him like a toy. He grabbed him. He let Hiranyakashipu go. The demigods were in terror. The Lord's not able to hold him, and Hiranyakashipu's arrogance grew mightier. again he attacked the Lord. He began to conjure all kinds of illusions, all kinds of mystic tricks, all of his powers. He was given the 8 mystic cities by Brahma. They were all used against Narasimhadev, who ultimately lifted up Hiranyakashipu, brought him to his own throne, put the throne, no, not, he brought him to the doorstep of the palace, put him on his legs, and with his long nails, he roared and tore his abdomen apart. Hiranyakashipu was just flake, moving around like a helpless insect. After killing Hiranyakashipu, Narasimhadev took his intestines full of blood and put it around his own neck as a garland of victory. Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki. All of the other Rakshasas attacked him. With the tips of his nails, he killed them all. After everything was finished, Narasimhadev sat down on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, roaring. The demigods came and began to offer flowers, beautiful prayers, but they could not pacify him. The demigods were fearful to approach him. They called Lakshmi Devi and said, "He's your consort, your husband. Please pacify him." She said, "I have never seen such an extraordinary form of my husband like this. I cannot go near him." Ultimately, Brahma went to Prahlad and said, "Prahlad, please make him peaceful." What the greatest controllers of the universe could not do, a little 5-year-old child, Prahlad, slowly approached Lord Narasimhadev, offered his full prostrated obeisances, got up, offered him a garland, and with folded palms, stood before the Lord. The Lord was so attracted that he placed his hand on Prahlad's head. Prahlad was completely purified of all material contamination by the touch of the Lord, and his body was trembling and empty. And by touching Prahlad, Lord Narasimhadev became peaceful. So very peaceful. Lord Narasimhadev was affectionately dealing with Prahlad in the most intimate, loving, fatherly way. Prahlad Maharaj then offered beautiful prayers. "But who am I? I'm just a son of the demons. What is my qualifications? I have none. But you are so merciful, my Lord, that you are giving me the words to praise you." Lord Narasimhadev offered Prahlad any benediction he wanted. Prahlad said, "I'm your devotee, client. If my service, if my surrender, if my devotion is for something in return, that's not devotion, that's business." Narasimhadev, Prahlad had. Prahlad said, "If it pleases you, give my father liberation." And as far as I'm concerned, there are many saints, yogis, rishis who go to the Himalayan jungles to be away from society for their own living. But I do not want to be like them. Let me be in the cities, the towns, the villages, wherever there's a fallen soul. Let me help them to understand you and love you. He rejected even going to Vaikuntha. He simply wanted to preach the message of the Lord out of compassion. Prahlad Maharaj, the example of Vaishnava. Our own beloved Srila Prabhupada, on so many occasions, spoke on this topic. In fact, his last time at New Vrindavan in 1976, I believe he was here about 2 weeks, every morning for Srimad Bhagavatam, was discussing Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. And he is so lovingly giving us the association of this Mahajan. So on this most holy and auspicious day, let us go deeply into these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam with Prabhupada's purports and really understand the divine message of this astonishing Leela. Let us, Maharaj, let us strive, struggle to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servants of Prahlad Maharaj. Remove the obstacles in the path of devotion. In fact, Srila Prabhupada taught us to this of Lord Narsingadeva six times a day after to beseech Lord Narsingadeva to protect our devotion, to protect our vows, protect International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to protect New Vrindavan. On this day, Lord Narasimhadev is especially present and especially merciful. Now please, let us all pray, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Narasimhadeva Bhagavan ki jai.